Right, I'm almost ready. Have you done this kind of thing before?
Long time ago in the 60s with John Freeman, that face-to-face thing. But,
He
was a hopeless amateur, broke down, wept halfway through the interview.
How did it resolve that particular encounter?
Gave him a hanky and told him to pull himself together. I did a bit of a appearance on the Tube with Paula Yates and Jules Holland. Played a bit of boogie on that, but I'm not radio. I've only done television. So this is all a new world to me.
I wasn't listening to that. Are you ready to go?
Yes, I'm off any minute.
Sir Arthur, your work with eels is very well documented. It's perhaps less well known that during one experiment you came very close to death. How did that happen?
I was trying to test the strength of the eel and whether the strength of the eel was enhanced by an injection of thiobisulin, which, as you probably know, is a steroid much used by Betty Grable in the early days of Hollywood, which gave her those wonderful legs because she was born with legs only 3 inches long. And her parents were determined to have a world-class film star-style daughter. But through administration of this drug and what is called tugging, namely pulling by the ankles, they managed to get Grable's legs up to the required film star length.
Wasn't there also a functional problem in this process? Sometimes things got horribly out of hand.
Yes, well, there was one occasion, I don't know if you've ever seen the sequence, but there are outtakes in the British War Museum which show Grable starting off a dance routine with the very long legs and winding up basically looking like a tea cosy. And the effects of the drug and the tugging were variable. There were many days she couldn't shoot because her legs got, frankly, too long for comfort.
But they weren't just long, were they? They flexed backwards.
She could walk both ways, yes, which was an effect which startled Louis B. Mayer. Once I remember Louis B. Mayer was on his casting couch, casting himself. And suddenly he thought he saw Betty Grable walking in. In fact, she was walking out. And that got up his nose. He was easily slighted.
Let's get back to you fighting the eel on the table. I believe during the course of that encounter, you did very nearly die. Did you ever think during the struggle, I don't care if it kills me?
Well, there were moments. There were moments where I thought, well, I've had a long life. I've had a varied life. And I've had just about enough of it, really, all this bloody eels. Bloody, bloody, bloody eels. I mean, as soon as you get hold of one, they start slithering all over the table. You ask them what's the secret of their jaw moving, they don't say a bloody thing. So I was tempted. But there was work to be done, and it will be done. And I will be done.
It makes one sorry to hear you talk like this. Many would say that before the eels, you were a different man.
Well, before the eels, of course, I was caught up in my love life.
Caught up?
Caught up, yes. I don't know if you remember the cha-cha boogies of Edmundo Ross, but Lita Rosa was a magnificent singer, rather similar in a way to Alma Kogan without the bounce. And we had not an affair, more of a correspondence. I sent her a postcard from, I think it was Tibet, and never got a reply because she was a married woman. And so it all petered out.
But you still haven't recovered. There's something unresolved about that relationship.
I'm not easily given to tears, but not hearing back from Lita was a bit of a body blow.
What was it about her that really moved you?
Her name, I think. Lita. Lita, 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 Rosa, Rosa, Rosa.
And as a result of this grave disappointment, I believe you dived headlong into a life of ill-advised abandon.
Yes, well, to try and forget her, I embarked on a series of meaningless affairs. They were just... They weren't even flings. They were nightcaps.
Did you ever meet Eric Clapton when you were there?
Several times. He was frightfully nice. A great comfort to me, Eric, because he's been through so much, hasn't he? I mean, having to play the guitar all the time must be absolutely awful for him. But Eric is a pathetic individual, really. Give me Ginger Rogers or Ginger Baker, whatever the other one is, one who went to Africa and taught the natives how to play the drums.
You were arrested with a gun in the vicinity of Eric Clapton's apartment in L.A.
Not arrested. I was taking part in the racial violence in Los Angeles after the Rodney King incident.
Which side were you on?
I was trying to mediate between the police and Rodders. I've got to know him very well. He's a very nice chap. And we were having a Big Mac together, and the police blundered in to finish off the job they hadn't completed. So I tried to mediate by saying, "There he is, officer," to try and calm the whole thing down, because one hates to see Los Angeles go up in flames unless one's got a camera running.
That was reported in one of the Sunday papers at the time as the dark soul of Sir Arthur Strebe Griebling. That night was a trail of wanton destruction, which many ascribed to your near-death experience, leaving you bereft of any hope.
I like to think I mowed down as many whites as I did blacks, and the Koreans did very badly out of the whole deal.
Do you feel any pride now about that?
I feel nothing but pride. That's all I do feel. An empty pride, a hopeless vanity, a dreadful arrogance, a stupefyingly futile conceit. But at least it's something to hang on to.
And the fact that you got away...
With murder, yes. That's not mince words.
And had to pay a menial fine.
Well, I don't know what you call a menial fine. It was, I had to do community work. I had to go and teach Tatum O'Neill to play tennis.
Is there anything left for you to do once you've finished with the Eels?
Well, I've still got to work on her backhand.
Sir Arthur, it does interest me. Why did you agree to these interviews?
The reason is really very, very simple. I've lived a long time. I've been distorted, I've been misrepresented, and I've been quoted accurately, which is perhaps the most appalling. And I thought, in simple conversation with another human being, I could get some things off my chest and onto other people's.
What question would you ask yourself?
I think the most fascinating question of all is that one which you didn't ask last time.
And that's the one you would ask yourself?
That's the one I'd ask myself. I'm not sure if I have the reply yet. There's a sort of...
Well, let's see. Ask yourself that question and then see if you have an answer.
Not at the moment.
You didn't ask the question, though.
I internalised it.
Wow, but perhaps you need to get quite firm with yourself.
No, I don't have the answer.
Perhaps we'll come back to that.
I'm sure we will.